promise shell corporations have on the poor. At 11 on Stage and Studio, host D. May Roberts features the Amish Project at Portland Actors Conservatory, which revolves around the 2006 killing of five Amish girls in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Andre Middleton interviews comic artist Stephen Christian about his work, The Island of Illtopia, a visual art series that follows the lives of three characters. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
Hi, this is John Shuck, host of Progressive Spirit. What do palm fronds, eagle feathers, and Ganesh statues have in common?
What about religious practices generally that harm the environment?
Law professor Jay Wexler is seeking a balance between religion and care for Earth. His new book is called When God Isn't Green. Listen to weekly podcasts on kboo.fm/progressive spirit.
It's the little things we take for granted when we sacrifice to save the planet.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, April 5th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Bit of weather to start things off today. Our guest coming right up is James Henry. He is a former chief economist at the international consultancy firm McKinsey & Company. He's now senior fellow at Columbia University's Center for Sustainable International Investment and senior advisor with the Tax Justice Network. More on our guest's background, but first this. Today, partly sunny, highs around 62, light variable wind. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 44. West-northwest winds, not very much, just very light, 5 to 7 flattening out from there. And tomorrow, sunny with a high around 78. Wow. And light northwest, northeast wind becoming 5 to 10 in the afternoon. And for tomorrow night, again, clear skies with lows around 47. That's it for the weather. Maybe we'll have a couple of headlines before we get James on the line. Iceland's Prime Minister resigned under pressure after the leaked Panama Papers tied him to a hidden offshore company. There will be many more dominoes to fall. However, just because they fall doesn't mean they're going to fall into jail, because that is almost certainly not going to happen. And there's a lot of good reasons why. For one thing, a while back, the U.S. passed some rather flaccid legislation designed to put perpetrators of these types of financial crimes behind bars, but they are virtually ridiculously unenforceable, and are mainly they're just there for show. That said, moving right along. So the other is, right now, of course, we can calm ourselves with other more familiar fears that people can find it easier to understand. Financial stuff, wow, that's really kind of intimidating, isn't it? But terrorists, sure, absolutely, those terrorists are doing tax haven people a huge favor, and very likely they're all in the same game, right? So that said, of course, it's easy to prey upon yet other fears. The chairman, Richard Burr, is circulating a draft of a Senate Intelligence Committee's encryption bill. The laughable reason for the bill is it's supposed to be a response to concerns that criminals are increasingly using encrypted devices to hide from authorities. This would require firms to comply with court orders seeking access to locked data. And of course, privacy and civil liberties advocates are all up in arms. All this is good business for the people who write code. They'll just write code that is more difficult to crack. That's all that is. Law enforcement officials say that the measure is necessary to help police conduct criminal terrorism investigations. Yes, let's all think about terrorism, because then we don't have to think about these trillions of dollars that are lying in offshore tax havens. Yeah, it's much easier to understand. And Oregon and California and others have agreed to go forward with a plan to remove 4 hydroelectric dams in the Pacific Northwest without approval from Congress. Exactly. By the time that happened, the dams should have fallen down anyway. And yesterday, a panel of ocean scientists released a report that confirms your worst fears. And if they're not your worst fears, then you may not be smart enough to live anyway. The report says that global carbon dioxide emissions are rapidly altering ocean chemistry along the West Coast. It's pretty much a done deal. The chemistry of the oceans no longer supports the ability of arthropods to make shells. And if they do certain things, like an oyster or a clam doesn't make a shell, that would be a dead oyster and a dead clam, soon to be followed by dead people, very likely, if we don't do something about not specifically climate change. This is habitat collapse. Our habitat is dying. Our planet is dying. And on that note, I want to just point out that not everybody was surprised about the so-called Panama Papers. One person who wasn't is James Henry. I happened to read the New York Review, and on March 10th comes this, regarding a letter in the New York Review on the offshore trillions to the editors. Cass Sunstein's review of Gabriel Zucman's The Hidden Wealth of Nations erroneously claims that Zucman is the first economist to produce specific numbers of this kind. Who wrote that? Our guest today, James Henry. On that note, I want to welcome James to, we're back to the KBOO airwaves. James, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And of course, none of this is a surprise to you. I mean, March 10th, you're writing in the review of books. And basically, I think the review could save time, cut to the chase, and next time just have you do the review instead of having Cass Sunstein.
Well, Cass Sunstein is kind of a neo, he's a Democrat. He knows a lot about animal rights. I don't think he knows anything about offshore taxation or the literature in this area. Clearly, he had just missed the fact that, lots of people, including myself, had published much earlier. And most important, the estimates that this guy, Zucman, came up with are, wildly low. I mean, ridiculously low. The true figure is about 21 to 32 trillion offshore as of the year end 2010, and we've estimated that. That's financial wealth. It excludes another 5 to 10 trillion of non-financial wealth, like real estate, much of which is held through offshore companies. I mean, the whole city of London is virtually owned by offshore companies. The New York Review of Books is an esteemed kind of publication, but they somehow ended up with this mistake, and I think Sunstein admitted that his, upon reflection, that the estimates were low. But this kind of petty intellectual fighting isn't the point. The point is that we have a huge global industry that is taking advantage of the fact that nation states are in competition with each other for tax revenue, and so a lot of wealthy corporations and individuals are able to game the system. And in this case of Panama, you know, this is a law firm that I've been following since the 1980s when I looked closely at General Noriega's offshore activities and went to Panama and came back with a whole list of his international phone calls for 3 years that were later prime evidence in his trial. But Mossack Fonseca is the law firm. It's called MOSFON by a lot of the people that are dealing with it. Has been in business since 1977. It has about $42 million of revenue. It's relatively small compared to other law firms. And what its main competitive advantage is it's really aggressive and edgy in terms of what it's willing to do in terms of registering offshore companies that can be used as conduits or shells by kleptocrats, by wealthy people. It's really kind of a Star Wars bar scene where you have, you know, the drug dealers and the money launderers and the tax dodgers and the dirty public officials and, you know, people engaged in defrauding creditors or, you know, dodgy banks that are setting up special purpose vehicles in havens so that they can engage in mortgage fraud. I mean, all of these people use the same basic facilities. And it's very important to understand why this matters, why most Americans, you know, don't understand it. It's complicated, but it's not boring at all. Once you get into the story, you understand that the wealthiest people on the planet and many elected officials and unelected dictators have been, you know, the Prime Minister of Iceland today just resigned as a result of this scandal. But we have detected at least 140 public officials currently serving or in governments around the world who either themselves personally or their inner circle have been using this law firm by way of other banks and law firms, you know, that make the introductions to basically conceal their wealth, and ill-gotten or not. Now, this behavior is not necessarily illegal. I mean, we're not courts. We're journalists. So we'll leave it to the prosecutors when they go through the 214,000 companies for which we've gotten documentation, for the 2.6 terabytes of data. It's the largest leak ever. It's about, you know, several hundred times. The WikiLeaks, Edward Snowden's leak was about 60,000 documents. This is 2.5 million, 11.5 million documents.
You'd be surprised at the, so much money going into such deep, dark places. I read a thing, too, by Ken Silverstein, the reporter for First Look Media, where basically documents how easy it is. You find the right, you go to Panama, you find the right guy, and you can do it you can set up one of these shell companies in a couple of days. And now you don't have to go to Panama. You can go to Nevada, because the state of Nevada set itself up.
I think a number of us who've been working in this area for a long time, Silverstein has been, you know, tracking, doing a lot of good work in this area as well. We're sort of perplexed because there's been revelation after revelation about offshore banking and now onshore banking, like what you describe, you know, going on in Nevada and Delaware, where there's no beneficial ownership registration either. We can't tell who owns what. We've been complaining about this since the 70s, and there have been scandal after scandal, you know, going way back to something called the Castle Bank and Trust case, which involved Nassau in the Bahamas in 1973, and 200 wealthy Americans, including the Pritzker family, you know, the Creedence Clearwater Revival. I mean, there are all these prominent people that were identified as having offshore accounts, offshore trusts, and, you know, nothing was done. I mean, Nixon ultimately closed down the investigation. So from that point on, the industry has basically grown with a kind of impunity. And, you know, this tiny law firm in Panama, it's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, they're not going to call on President Putin directly. You know, they don't send their, they're not recruiting the prime minister of Pakistan's family or the king of Saudi Arabia or the president of Argentina directly to be clients. People are finding them by way of giant banks. There are more than 500 banks that have been channeling clients and customers to this dodgy law firm in Panama, including, you know, major banks like UBS, HSBC, UBS, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, you know, basically using them to set up conduit companies.
James, we have about a minute left, and I do want to make sure that I ask you a bit about America's role in this, as well. We think we're looking out at the rest of the world, those nefarious carryings on, and in fact, America is seen as a huge tax haven by the rest of the world.
Well, exactly, and it's been a longstanding problem. We've basically designed our tax laws to attract offshore capital from so-called non-resident aliens. So you, if you are a wealthy Mexican and you are in the United States less than 183 days a year, you can basically live here tax-free on all your capital income and capital gains. No tax on your bonds and bond interest. That's basically the same tax system that's been replicated for non-DOMs or non-resident aliens around the planet. So London, you know, now hosts about 90,000 Russians. Anyway, the United States has a lot of work to do in terms of cleaning up its own act here.
James,
we don't have...
we're totally out of time. I've gone over. I want to thank you and I invite you back in the very near future. This is something I am very interested in. And it's an incredible story, the deeper you get into it. My guest has been James Henry. Of course, he is a former and chief economist, the international consultancy firm of McKinsey Company. Google that and see who we've been talking to. He wrote The Price of Offshore Revisited. James is with the Tax Justice Network. His books include The Blood Bankers. This has been Erica Skadia for Tuesday, April 3rd.